It's time for our Voice of the Valley, and my guest today is Jennifer Feist. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us on the show once again today.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
Well, we've got a big legislative session to talk about coming up later, but let's talk a little bit about some of the outlines of what we've talked about in the past that are important for the Development Corporation.
Right. And as you know, and I'm sure you know the community knows, the Development Corporation's two overriding goals are to increase our population and increase the tax base. And that starts largely with the primary sector. That's your job creation. That's the higher paying jobs. We need more of those high paying jobs and offering our individuals challenging and rewarding careers that will lead to a good life here in Valley City, Barnes County. To be successful, though, we also have to pay attention to the other areas and some that, you know, that surrounds this and that are equally important are housing and infrastructure, education, childcare, of course, and then quality of life. So it's all of that. It's one big package that we have to work on.
It's important for the community. Now, the legislative session kicks off in January. We have a new governor coming in December 15th. So we've got a whole new set of things to be looking at. What are some of the major areas that you folks are looking at?
So, of course, property tax reform is probably going to be top on the list. Mm-hmm. And we're already hearing some comments about what some legislators think about that, and specifically reducing and taking on, having the state take on more of the mills required for educational support K through 12. And then in closely related to that, equally important are the K through 12 facilities. And there's a group that's working on that and has made presentations to the legislature in the interim, to the interim committees. And then, of course, there was a vote that was on the ballot just this in November here, related to the use of legacy funds and the limitations there. And then housing. Housing is a big deal. And of course, the governor came out not all that long ago, Governor Burgum, with $96 million that he would like to see approved for housing in a number of layers.
That would be nice. I know he's outgoing, so we have a new governor coming in. We'll see how that plays out and if he has the same philosophy behind that. But as I look at, you know, A through E here on that list, it's like these are all definite needs that we have.
They're absolute definite needs. And you have the outgoing governor, you have the incoming governor, and then you have the legislature.
Right.
So there's three really big steps that have to happen here. What I do like, and we'll see if that $96 million sticks or maybe some form of that, but what I do like about this is they are paying attention to gap funding for developers to construct single and multifamily housing. Mm-hmm. That's really important in communities, of our size, even Devil's Lake and Wahpeton, and communities across the state all have housing issues, but it's very difficult when you don't have the density the way Fargo does or Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks.
Right.
It's very, very difficult to get an investor, a developer, to come in and invest in your community. And then there, one of the things is low-interest construction loans for entry-level homes or what they call aging in place. Well, what they're referring to is your existing housing, that where homes are 50 years old or older, but need renovations. So if there was some way to provide some sort of low interest loans or something for housing rehab, that would be really great. And then they talk about innovation grants. I'm not sure what they have in mind there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. They did mention manufactured homes, which...
decreasing mortgage rates.
Another one. Homelessness, some dollars there. An interesting statistic, though, was that one-third of the homelessness in North Dakota impacts children.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's really quite a, just an eye-opening statistic. And so when we talk about homelessness, we always have to keep our children in mind with that. And then also eviction prevention resources.
That's interesting. I've never seen that before.
And it might come in the form, for example, people might be more familiar with Section 8 housing, where they have vouchers, and then you have some governmental agency mm-hmm. that's picking up the cost of the rent or a large chunk of it. Maybe what this is, but at the state level. I'm not sure what that is either. There's some other things that I have on my mind, too, that could help reduce the cost of housing. And so that's on my wish list. And yeah. I've been talking to some legislators, and I'm going to keep talking to anybody who will listen to me. And I'm going to keep asking.
Do you get out to the legislative session?
You know, I've provided written testimony okay. the last time around, and I have gotten out to the legislative sessions. And so we'll see what this session brings. And in the interim, I'm listening to the testimony online. You can listen.
That's right.
Just by going to the legislature's website, and under the video tab, you can see everything that is being studied in between legislative sessions and then during the session.
Yeah.
So you can just look and pick what you want to listen to, just from the comfort of your studio right here and your laptop. So it's really pretty easy. One of the things that I know is out there is the Water Commission has a 60% grant for waterline extension. And so if there's a housing development, if it's engineered, 60% of the cost of the waterline can be covered under a grant. That's how it is right now. I would like to see the same thing happen for a sanitary sewer. So I'm waiting for that division to get back to me. That's something that I've been talking to a number of people about. The state currently has what they call an RWISH fund.
Yeah, what is this?
It's a fund where a community can tap state funds for multifamily housing if a private company also contributes to the housing project.
Okay.
That might work in certain communities, but one size does not fit all. And so the only thing that I would like to see is if an economic development group said, we'll put in the matching funds.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we also tap into the state funds? So it's just a slight modification, and I'm not sure if that can be taken care of administratively within the Bank of North Dakota or if the legislature has to make a change. Some of these things require legislative action, and that I'm checking into that further, but I would like to see some flexibility there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a situation where other communities could benefit from that kind of a change as well. I'd like to see what I call a last mile fund. I asked for this in the last legislative session. You probably recall that there's a natural gas line that's going to run across the state of North Dakota following Highway 200
yep.
from western North Dakota
mm-hmm.
to Grand Forks. And there's supposed to be a fertilizer plant at the end of the road, right? I don't know the status of a fertilizer plant in Grand Forks, but I do know that that $150 million is $250 million right now. And
it grew to $250 million, huh?
Yes,
wow.
And that's state funds. So I'd like to peel away $10 million, $25 million for yeah. a last mile fund. And a good example would be the Development Corporation and the city and the county just approved $250,000 to get natural gas underneath the interstate to the south side.
Yeah.
So why couldn't a last mile fund pay for that or provide matching funds for that?
Okay.
If we have $250 million of public money, public sector funds, tax dollars,
mm-hmm.
that could, and I understand it's all tied into oil production and all of that and got to get the gas to market. I get all of that. I get the big picture. I want... something for Valley City so that we can extend natural gas to some homeowners and to some businesses and see further development on the south side of the interstate. And I think it's worth asking. And if not that, maybe then we could take an existing fund, like Prairie Dog Funds.
And use it out of that.
And put some additional funds mm-hmm. into Prairie Dog Funds. If you
okay.
don't want to create something new,
yeah.
use what you already have. Increase the funding, and then see what happens,
okay.
and then allow some flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
allow some of that to be used for natural gas or for the sanitary sewer or something and increase the funding there. Do something. But all of these things...
I think these are good ideas that you're, you are presenting.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is this all goes back to the homeowner.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to find ways to reduce cost somewhere along the line we pay for it. Well, we're paying in tax dollars, you know, so why not bring some of that back?
Okay.
And so I'm hoping that our legislators will, and I plan to meet with them prior to the session starting, but I hope our representatives will keep these things in mind, that homeowners really do need some relief, and existing homes do need some fixing up. And I think that's an important part, you know, of our growth is...
It would be a nice package to have completed after the session is over with.
It really would be nice.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the session, you are teaming with the League of Women Voters to try to get our local legislators to come back and give us updates during the session.
Right. It would be good. And tentatively, we haven't finalized everything, but I do want to mention that the Development Corporation is teaming up with the League of Women Voters, North Dakota League, and we have tentatively set 4 dates, one a month, and we'll have additional information coming out as soon as we have locations confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be once a month, here in town, and there may be some other, maybe some other forums in other communities. But I think once a month update from the legislators for us to listen to them about what's going on. And I know individuals are following certain bills. We follow economic development bills. The city follows theirs, the county, education, everybody's following. So you have a wealth of knowledge from individuals coming together, reporting on things, helping each other understand all the issues that are out there, because a few people can't possibly handle everything, and then an exchange of ideas. So I really want to encourage people to participate in forums, not only our legislators to participate, the forums, people should contact your legislators. Watch the sessions live, like I said just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Follow an issue that you're concerned about. Testify, inform others. There's so much at stake all the time, not just this session, but all the time. And it's up to us to really step up and say, this is the kind of community that we want to live in. And I think the legislature and the funding and the ideas that come out of that, it's critically important. So.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us again on the show today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve.
There's Jennifer Feist, our guest on today's Voice of the Valley.